Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Before reading the verse, I wanted to read a little report on which was written by Malati Mataji on the day Yamuna's body entered into the fire. It was Thursday morning, December 22, when a small group of friends and associates of Her Grace Yamuna Devi Dasi gathered together to offer last respects before placing the mortal remains into fire. Devotees from Malachiva had gathered together Charnamrita water, Mahatulsi leaves and Manjari garlands, Chandan and other sacred items. Sruti Rupa Devidasi had taken the lead in securing a funeral home that was amicable to our simple request to prepare the body for its brief but final journey into the furnace, as well as being there to assist Dinatharini, who was suddenly bereft of her most dear associate and intimate friend in devotional service. On Thursday morning, Dinatharini, Sruti Rupa, Nirmala, Mataji's, and her husband Devarshi, and sister Rangavati were present along with Malati, Kartamasi, affectionately called Kar, his wife Radha, their small son Ghanashyam, and Haribhakta Das. The 10 breaking hearts who couldn't imagine being anywhere else at the moment, yet wished that they were not really there for the purpose at hand. Sruti, Malati, Nirmala and Rangvati arrived first, offering prostrated obeisances to her memory and body that was atop a slim gurney on wheels, covered at first by white sheets and a blanket from the funeral home. We were going to prepare our body for the cremation. It was surreal and painfully blissful to do this service. Holy Charnamrita water was sprinkled as a final shower. Her trademark beige outfit was put over her, no cast aside form. Then the marks of Tilak and other sacred names were applied. I was privileged to apply the final Tilak to her gracefully beautiful forehead, almost expecting her to wake from her so-called slumber and exclaim, "What in the world are you doing?" But of course, this did not happen. Neck beads were put astound her neck. The sacred oil of Sri Nisimhadeva from Mayapur was applied. Maha flower garlands, big and small, were draped atop her form, included one around her left ear. A pavitra from Mayapur was put around her head. Each of us was fully immersed in this final personal service to her. A Harinam Shadar from Malachiva was put around the profile of her head, and pieces of cloth that matched the color of her outfit were placed over her form, shroud-like. Rangavati made a gigantic giwik that was placed upon her belly, and then the others were called for a simple droop arti and circumambulation, accompanied by kirtan. Red rose petals were offered, and a giant pink hibiscus was placed by Radha, who probably picked it from a local shrub. Then the funeral home man arrived to prepare to transport the body from our little space in the corner of a larger room to the actual furnace. The sides of the cardboard container were pulled up, and a royal blue plush blanket with fitted corners was placed over the body. I couldn't understand why they did this until we went out the door to the furnace room. We were all pushing and pulling Yamuna on her last rat cart like a ride. Suddenly, from the suitable, dim, depressing, drab grey of the funeral home, we were right outside in broad daylight, walking a few yards over to another outdoor building which housed the furnace. You could see cars and people go by, so then I understood why the blue blanket. When we reached the furnace area, which was off of the side of a carport that was enclosed on three sides, the blanket was removed and she was pushed onto another narrow plank atop a mechanism that could be raised up to allow the body to be pushed into the belly of the furnace. As the gigantic Giwik was set alight by Rangavati, we all chanted, offered roses and pushed our blissful body into the furnace pit, catching a last glimpse before the doors shut. Then Shruti Rupa stepped forward to press the on button, which triggered a big heavy metal sound like a roaring bulldozer as the furnace began to do its thing and heat up the required number of degrees, somewhere between 1200 and 1800 degrees Fahrenheit. It takes up to 4 hours, or in the case of a heavier body, a bit longer. A complete cremation is in two-step process. Firstly, the actual exposure of the deceased to several hours of intense heat and flame, after which the remains are mostly ash except for certain bone fragments. Then the entire remaining ash and fragment volume is gathered and run through a processor, creating a uniform power-like texture. We stood and chanted for almost an hour. Car leading us in those early day soulful tunes with Hari Bhakta accompanying gently on the Mirdanga. After some time, our feet were dancing. Our hands were alternately clapping, raising high or holding the person next to us. And cries of Gora, Gora, Goranga, Haribol were uttered with feeling. Dina recited the pranams when the kirtan ceased, and we joined hands for a round robin sharing of what it was about Yamuna that most stood out in our lives. After offering heartfelt obeisances and vanchakalpa, we went back to Yamuna and Dina's Sri Sri Radha Banabihari's ashram, and magical prasad was prepared, mostly by Shruti Rupa, assisted by Radha. And at the end, Ranga Nirmala, we all agreed that Yamuna would have approved of the offering. Prasad was followed up by heartfelt bhajan of Narottama Das led by Kar, followed by O He Vaishnava Thakur and Kirtan. There was definitely the presence of someone who was conspicuous by her absence that we were all missing and longing for. We talked about gathering together next fall in Mayapur Vrindavan to continue with Yamuna's kirtan program, bringing our ashes home. Afterward, we all took a sunset walk along the beach, quietly chanting, remembering, lamenting, and rejoicing. Yamuna did it her way, quietly slipping out the back door, when no one least expected it, thus avoiding any undue fanfare. All glories to Yamuna Thakurani Maharani Devi Dasi, beloved to Srila Prabhupada, loved and missed by God brothers and sisters, along with her friends and followers, known and unknown, Srila Prabhupada's mercy ki jai. So today we continue reading from Madhya Lila, chapter 20, which is entitled The Lord Instructs Sanatana Goswami. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left very little writing instructions, but he gave specific instructions to specific devotees like Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanata Goswami. So here we are in the chapter where the Lord is personally instructing Sri Sanata Goswami. So I first read 140 and 141 because there is no purport, and then we read 142 together. Dana paile ache sukha boha phala paya sukha boha aite dukha apani palaya. When one actually becomes rich, he naturally enjoys all kinds of happiness. When one is actually in a happy mood, all distressful conditions go away by themselves. No extraneous endeavor is needed. 141. Tache bhakti phale krishne prema upadhyaya preme krishna vada haile bhavanasa paya. Similarly, as a result of bhakti, one's dormant love for Krishna awakens. When one is so situated that he can taste the association of Lord Krishna, material existence, the repetition of birth and death, comes to an end. Daradriyanasa bhavakshaya premera phalanaya preme sukha bhoga mukhya prayojanahaya. I don't catch so much the, because this line is there in between that makes it what is the best way to chant this? Daridriyanasa bhavakshaya premera phalanaya prema sukha bhoga mukhya prayojanahaya. Daridriyanasa bhavakshaya premera phalanaya prema sukha bhoga mukhya prayojanahaya. Daridriyanasa bhavakshaya premera phalanaya prema sukha bhoga mukhya prayojanahaya. Please repeat. Prema sukha bhoga. What are these? Lidriya Premira Falana Daridriya Nasa, the end of poverty-stricken life. Bhavakshaya, annihilation of material existence. Premera, of love of Godhead. Phala, the result. Naya, certainly is not. Prema Sukha Bhoga, enjoyment of the happiness of love of God. Mukya, chief. Prayojana, goal of life. Haya, is. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The goal of love of Godhead is not to become materially rich or free from material bondage. The real goal is to be situated in devotional service to the Lord and to enjoy transcendental bliss. Please repeat. The goal of love of Godhead is not to become materially rich or free from material bondage. The real goal is to be situated in devotional service to the Lord and to enjoy transcendental bliss. Purport. The results of devotional service are certainly not material benefits or liberation from material bondage. The goal of devotional service is to be eternally situated in the loving service of the Lord and to enjoy spiritual bliss from that service. One is said to be in a poverty-stricken condition when one forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to end such a life of poverty in order to automatically end the miserable conditions of material existence. One is automatically liberated from material enjoyment when one tastes the service of Krishna. One does not have to endeavor separately for opulence. Opulence automatically comes to the pure devotee even though he does not desire material happiness. Om Agyanati Varandasya, Ganimura Sarakya, Shakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha, Namam Vismudaya Krishna Bhistaya Mutale Sumite Satvarup Dasva Swami Tenamine, Namam Vismudaya Krishna Bhistaya Mutale Sumite Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tenamine, Namaste Sarasvati Deve, Goravani Pacharini, Nirvishesa, Sunyavadi, Paschacha, Vizakadim. So here we are in the pastime of Sanatana Goswami, who was told by the Lord at first to be patient, but then when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to come to Benares, then Sanatana Goswami was very eager to go, but he was imprisoned, so he couldn't go. But he had a stack of gold coins, which was interesting for the superintendent of the jail, and he was able to convince him to let him go with the story that he would, in the morning, the prisoners, they were allowed with chains to go to the board of the Ganga, and then they were passing stool and then maybe later taking bath. I don't know exactly what was that. So then Sanatana Goswami told him, you just tell, you know, the Nawab that I jumped in the Ganga, but because I was still chained, I probably drowned, and you stayed there around for the whole day, and you couldn't find me anymore. So then, first the deal was 5,000 gold coins, but then he had to go to 7,000, and then he was released. And then, on his way, he took a servant with him, and then in the night before crossing the mountains, then they stopped in a house, not really a hotel, but a bigger house where they could stay overnight. But then the guy of that house, he had somebody who with some magical feeling, magical sense. And the boss of the house was told by that person that they were having eight gold coins with them. And so Sanatana Goswami, from the way how the man spoke with him, he said, there is something wrong here. So he asked his servant, do you have gold coins? And the servant said, servant who had eight gold coins, he said, yes, I have seven gold coins. Sanatana Goswami said, give them to me. And then he gave them to that owner of that guest house. And he said, oh, you are lucky, because I was going to kill both of you, going to kill for these coins, for these eight coins. So then that man helped them going across the mountains and in the direction of Varanasi. And then when they were across, then Sanatana Goswami told his servant, do you have more gold coins? And he said, yes, I have one more gold coin. He said, take it and go. So he didn't need him anymore. He released him because he was not very happy with this type of his dealing. And first of all, he had taken the gold coins without telling him. Secondly, he basically, you know, he said he had seven, and in reality he kept one behind, like we all tend to do towards Krishna. We give something to Krishna and we keep something behind for us. But so that servant was then told to go back. And then Sanatana Goswami continued his way. And when he arrived at the house where Lord Chaitanya was staying, the house of Chandrasekhar, then Lord Chaitanya said, is there not somebody outside? And then Chandrasekhar went out and looked. He saw, of course, this this Muslim guy, but he was not thinking that Lord Chaitanya meant him. So then he went back in Lord Chaitanya and he said to Lord Chaitanya, no, there is nobody outside there. And Lord Chaitanya said, are you sure, is there nobody? Well, yeah, there is a Muslim mendicant who looks very bewildered, something like that. And so Lord Chaitanya said, ask him to come in. So then he came in, Sanatana Goswami, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, and they, although Sanatana Goswami said, don't touch me, please don't touch me, my Lord. But Lord Chaitanya was so happy, and they, were both overwhelmed with ecstatic love meeting each other. So naturally, Chandrasekhar was very amazed about this scene. How can he have so much feeling, the Lord, for a mendicant Muslim? So then Lord Chaitanya says, so please go and take a bath, and then you can take prasadam together, and then Chandrasekhar gave him a dhoti, nice dhoti for Sanatana Goswami. But Sanatana Goswami took the dhoti and he pulled it in pieces. So he made two longis and he made two Brahman underwear from it. So that was his possession for the future. Although he was originally like a minister, like a very wealthy person, he changed completely his lifestyle and as a mendicant. And then he was Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. So he was still carrying then a nice chadar, which was given also by Chandrasekhar to him. So then he could feel that Lord Chaitanya didn't like that so much. So then the next morning when he took bath in the Ganga, there was a sadhu there who had a chadar full of holes. Because it was just finished, it was completely, you know, finished. So then he said to this sadhu, "Can I exchange my chadar with yours?" And said, "Why are you joking with me?" But Sanatana Goswami says, "I'm not joking. Please allow me to exchange the chadar." So then changed, and then when Lord Chaitanya saw that, he was very happy that Sanatana Goswami had really fully taken to this mendicant life and life completely for Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya commented, he said, when a doctor heals a patient but he sees some remaining disease, then he doesn't let that go. He will also take care of that. If it's a good doctor, he will also take care of that remaining disease. So he gave that as an example that he was very satisfied that Sanatana Goswami, the last thing which was a little from his previous class, that he also had dropped that and left behind. And then it says there in that verse next, say Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Lord Krishna has bestowed his full mercy upon you so that all these things are known to you. For you the threefold miseries certainly do not exist." I was looking for another verse where it clearly says that because of this surrender of Sanatana Goswami, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the mercy, and by giving that mercy, Sanatana Goswami knew what to ask to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could instruct him. In other words, there, if we prepare ourselves that we allow the Lord to instruct us, that is the meaning of this exchange here, that of course, no doubt, these are pastimes, these were, you know, great and special personalities, but the process of Krishna consciousness works like that, and this is given as an example, that if we do surrender, and if we do internally, externally and internally follow the process of Krishna consciousness and of renunciation and meditation. And as Urmila Mataji yesterday mentioned, that the, you know, we can do external things, but we have to do them internal also. Not that we, you know, act, but we, our mind is not there. So that's for the chanting, that's for, you know, standing in front of the deities, that's for everything like that. But if we prepare ourselves internally and externally, if we bring ourselves to Mangalarti, or we bring ourselves to Guru Puja or to the class, that's already an important part to be here. But the second part is then to also meditate on the Lord when we chant, or meditate on the Lord when we or on the spiritual master when we sing the Mangalarti prayers, and to hear when we are in the class, because we bring also our mind to the class. It's not, we can sit there and we can be completely somewhere else. So externally it seems all fine, and of course the first step is done and it's an important step, but the second step also is that we absorb ourselves in the hearing of the Krishna Katha and in the hearing of the holy name when we are chanting. So in the case of Sanatana Goswami, he had done everything which was needed to please the Lord, and as an automatic reaction, the Lord is going to reciprocate to him. He is going to personally instruct him into the Krishna consciousness, even, you know, some basics of Krishna consciousness are here. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatana Goswami, it is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna, because he is the marginal energy of Krishna and a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from the Lord. Like a molecular particle of sunshine or fire, Krishna has three varieties of energy. So this is, as we know, this is very basic philosophy which is explained here, but it's explained directly by the Lord. And Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Prabhupada quotes Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur's purport, where he said that Sanatana Goswami, he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who am I? And which is a basic question. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answered with a basic answer. You are a pure living being. You are not this gross material body. You are not the subtle body either. Because you are not your mind, and you are not even your intelligence. You are a spirit soul. Eternally part and partial of the Lord. So this is the most basic philosophy which is spoken by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the conclusion, if we are pure living being, if we are not the mind, intelligence and the material body, so what is then the conclusion? So the conclusion is that we are an eternal servant of the Lord. And that there are two worlds, the spiritual world and the material world. And that we are somewhere in between as a marginal potency. And the living entity is related with the Lord, with Krishna, as one and simultaneously different. Because we are one in quality with the Lord, and we are different in quantity. Just as the example of the ocean. The Lord is the ocean. We are one drop of that ocean. But that one drop has the same qualities as the whole ocean. But it is obviously by far not that powerful, not that. So the Lord is everything, and we are just a small particle of that, but with the same qualities. The soul has the same qualities, but not at all the quantity. So this is some basic philosophy that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that the studying of the Vedas is to know the study. Why do we study the Vedas? Not to become very smart, to become very learned and be respected for that being very learned. No. We study the Vedas to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's technically called sambandha, when we try to understand our relationship with Krishna. And then abhideya is then to act according to that relationship. That's why knowledge is so important. Because without knowledge, you don't know how to properly act. So if you have the knowledge, then we can act according to that knowledge. And then the prayojana is then to reach the ultimate goal. So if we get to understand the Lord through the knowledge, and then we act according to that relationship. Acting according to that relationship means acting in devotional service. Because if we get to know Him, we will also learn to know that the best way to please Him is to act according to our eternal constitutional position of being a servant. And acting according to our eternal constitutional position means we are a servant of the Lord. So when you are a servant of somebody, you are going to ask that person, what is the best thing I can do for you? And so Prabhupada told us the best thing we can do for pleasing Krishna is to glorify His name, to serve Him, and to the whole process of Krishna consciousness. So that is the understanding what is our relationship with Krishna. Then when we understand that, then the natural conclusion should be my life should be a life of devotional service. And then in that life of devotional service, we are going to become better and better. If we give our energy in being a servant of Krishna, then naturally we are going to, in due course of time, we are going to increase, we are going to improve. And if we do that, then we will gradually become better and reach the ultimate goal. And the ultimate goal is prema, is not liberation, as it was mentioned before. it is the ultimate love of Godhead, which will naturally come if we dedicate our life to Krishna. If Krishna, you know, if we wake up with Krishna and we go to sleep with Krishna, then things will happen. So that is until the verse of today, that's more or less the essence of what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teached or instructed Sanatana Goswami. And just like Lord Krishna instructed Arjuna, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. And then the verse of today is the goal of love of Godhead is not to become materially rich or free from material bondage. The real goal is to be situated in devotional service to the Lord and to enjoy transcendental bliss. And that transcendental bliss is going to come if after we understand Krishna, we do what he expects us to do, and we endeavor in becoming better and better, then this transcendental bliss will automatically be present. We will not have to separately endeavor for transcendental bliss. It will be automatically there simply by being absorbed in the process of Krishna consciousness. Then this bliss will be an automatic result. And at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada even says, one does not have to endeavor separately for opulence. Because opulence automatically comes to the pure devotee, even though he does not desire material happiness. So one has to be above that desire to be wealthy, to want to be liberation. One has to go above that. And if we are above that, then Krishna will be satisfied and automatically he will give. He will give whatever we need and he will give even included opulence without us desiring it. It will come by the Lord's arrangement because he wants it. Because then we are ready for it. Because as long as we desire for it, means we have motivations. Means we want to somewhat compete with Krishna. But when we really act as a servant, without desiring to become superior to anybody, what to speak to Krishna, then means we are ready for, you know, we have everything, let it go. We let everything go. And we allow the Lord to act in his way. And then automatically these things come without desiring it. And the purport saying the goal of devotion service is to be eternally situated in the loving service of the Lord and to enjoy spiritual bliss from that service. One is said to be in a poverty-stricken condition when one forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. See, when we forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's unnatural. So something which is unnatural is going to always take more effort and more endeavor than something which is natural. If you want to go stream upwards in a river, it will be much more endeavor to go stream upwards than to just go with the flow of the river. So going with the flow of the river is taking to Krishna consciousness, is serving Krishna. That's going with the river, going with the flow of the river. And wanting to do our own thing in life, that's going upstream. It's going to be much more endeavor, strenuous, difficult, and we are not going to achieve anything besides maybe something material. But when we go with the flow of the river, then that is the servant of Krishna. But we are so used to go upstream. We are so used to do our own thing, have our own strong mind and follow our own strong mind. We are so used to go upstream that now it's difficult. It becomes such a deep ingrained condition that now it's difficult to let it go and to simply serve the Lord and go the easy way. We want to go the difficult way. That's our unfortunate condition. And after so many lifetimes, it's so deeply in our system that now it takes a whole effort to let it go and to do the right thing. It's so deeply, not only in our mind, also in our intelligence is polluted. So, and when mind and intelligence are polluted, then naturally, it's very, very deep, because with our intelligence, there is reasoning, but if we reason and we bring arguments for the wrong thing, like a lawyer, even if he knows his client was at fault, he is going to bring so many reasons so that the judge gets bewildered and chooses in favor of the client from whom he knows very well that he did a bad thing, a wrong thing. Still, but we are also like that. We are also defending our false position. And because we are defending our false position, then naturally we get the wrong conclusion, the wrong results. So we have to let all these things, understand them by reading the scriptures, by serving the devotees. We have to get into deeper realizations, and then hopefully Krishna will be one day merciful to us, as he was merciful to Sanatana Goswami, because he felt, okay, yes, you have done your bit, you have done sincere effort, and then so that we are allowed to go with the stream. So I will stop here. Any comments, questions? You're really in a picture day today. What is it? Boho. Here is prema, sukha, boha, enjoyment of the happiness of love of God. Name? It's combined with prema, sukha, boha. Prema, sukha, boha. And then it's... The real goal is to be situated in devotional service to the Lord and to enjoy His transcendental bliss. I think this enjoyment, when is it enjoyment for our own pleasure? When is it enjoyment that comes naturally? One is enjoyment for our own pleasure. The other one is enjoyment which naturally comes when we serve Krishna. We all know the difference because it does feel different. When you enjoy your own senses, then it always has a bad aftertaste, which can be expressed in different things. You know, we have a bad mood, or sometimes we even become angry because we were enjoying what was not right. And when you enjoy what is not right, there is an after effect which is not good. And when we enjoy because you did the right thing, you were present in a blissful kirtan, or that day you really went out of your way, a devotee was in difficulty and I asked if you could help, and although you had already your service, but you did this on top of it, you went out of your way, later you felt very good. That's the enjoyment, but that's given to us by Krishna because we did the right thing. And that's what is meant here. That if we go through the Sambandha Videya Prayojana, in the Prayojana states, or in the Abhideya, if we act according to that relationship, as if we act as a servant, we are going to feel blissful. Because servant is our natural constitutional position. So simply by doing what we are, that bliss is going to be there. It may be sometimes there, sometimes not there. That's going to depend also on our mind and intelligence and how we use them. But naturally it is going to be there simply because we act as in the proper way as servants. Something wrong with? You can. I mean, it's our, if we can be motivated to do devotional service, is that what you're saying? To be blissful is natural for the soul. The soul is one of the quality. Satchitananda is to be blissful. Ananda is to be blissful. So it's a natural condition of the soul, and it is also natural that it comes out. If you use then that bliss to turn into material activity, then of course that's a wrong use of that bliss. But if you are simply blissful, because you're acting according to your soul. We should always be blissful because it's the nature of our soul. Our soul is waiting for the idea that it can be out of its cave, out of its engagement, and that we can actually be blissful. Our soul is waiting for that day. And Krishna is next to our soul as the super soul. He is also waiting for that day. The process of Krishna consciousness is going to make that happen, but sometimes we will be blissful, another moment we will, due to our mind, intelligence, etc., we will not feel so blissful. But it is, we should know that it is already there and that it is waiting for us to be as it should be. It's waiting, day after day, lifetime after lifetime. But it is waiting for us to wake up to that full understanding of Satchitananda. Yeah, but the reality, you know, reality, because we have a process, you see. Process means that, you know, in the stage from conditioned life to become, you know, fully awakened, there are going to be phases where you have moments of happiness, moments of distress, or that you look in your heart and that you say, I never thought I was such a, you know, I had such a dirty heart, you know. That's not the most bliss. It's nice that we realize, but that's not so blissful realization that we see so much garbage. But you know, but you are right. Ultimately, yes, we should. Ultimately, we should always be happy. And it is true that due to Maya, due to illusion, we are not always happy. It's a fact. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, yes. Okay. I guess we are anyway going slowly, so we are not jumping so much. At least I don't see so many devotees jump, neither do I myself. So since we are doing this guidance, yeah, I don't think we will drown so easily in the bliss. I would say that we are too careful, rather than too. Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Lord Premanande.